And now for the next topic. Public Health England suggests it should be available on prescription. Some people are taking it up for fun, and others are using it to help them quit smoking. But in all cases, there's a strong belief that vaping is the healthier alternative to cigarettes. But a study out this week suggests that inhaled vapour from e-cigarettes can make the cells that line our airways much stickier, and it increases the odds that bacteria, like the pneumococcus that can cause chest and other infections, can gain a foothold. Jonathan Grigg is a respiratory consultant at Queen Mary University of London.
Vaping is increasingly popular as a smoking cessation aid, and youngsters are taking up vaping itself. So it's important that we understand the effects on the lung. And what we're looking at is the risk of developing a serious infection. That's with a bug called the pneumococcus, and that causes pneumonia. And we know that if you cigarette smoke, you're at significantly increased risk of pneumonia. And the mechanism is that bugs just stick more to the airways, and they can get a little niche, and they can get a foothold in the airway and cause infection. So what we did was put vape onto airway cells, human airway cells. We sort of expected not to see very much, but in fact, e-cigarette vapor significantly increased the stickiness of the bugs to the cells in the same way as cigarette smoke.
And do you know how it makes them stickier?
Well, the mechanism is really interesting. What the bug does is it hijacks a normal substance that's expressed on the cells as a receptor. It uses it as a Trojan horse. It sort of sticks to that receptor. And then as the receptor normally gets into the cell, the bug just moves across into the cell. So it's a real sort of it's like a hijack, literally. And so what we saw was that vaping increased the amount of receptor on the cell, and more bugs stuck to that receptor.
That's in cells in a dish, but how confident are you that that represents what's going on in one of your patients?
Yes, to address that, what we took was a group of vapors. We took little scrapes of the cells from their nose before they vaped, doing their normal vaping session, and 1 hour after that. And we looked for the expression of this receptor that the bugs can hijack. And we found that the receptor was significantly increased, at least 2 or 3-fold increase after vaping.
And does that end up reflecting an increased risk of infection? Obviously, you can't do that in human patients. It would be unethical. Because at the moment, all you can say is that it appears the cells get stickier. It appears that this is secondary to the vaping. But can you put the whole puzzle together and say vaping causes more infections?
You're quite right. We haven't translated that into a risk. I mean, it really needs large-scale, what we call epidemiological surveys, to be able to do that the same way as smoking. But what we did do was in an animal model, we put exposed animals to vape and infected them with the pneumococcus, and we found increased amount of pneumococcus in the nose of vape exposed animals. So at least in that situation, we saw an effect.
What about, you know, I've classically heard it said, if you go and wander around in London, you may as well have smoked a packet of cigarettes if you walk down some streets, because the traffic pollution is so significant. How do you quantify, qualify, and standardise what you call vaping and the infection risk arising from it, and compare it to, say, just occupational exposure or day-to-day exposure to pollution?
I think that's a very, very important point. And we've looked at various other exposures in our model, which are known to be increased risk of pneumococcal infection. And as you say, diesel exhaust particles increase the risk, especially in young children, of pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia. Welding is an occupational exposure that increases that. And in our model, we see those effects. So I think, yes, just walking around a polluted environment is increasing your risk, as we know. But that doesn't, of course, mean that vaping can be dismissed. This will be an additional risk to what is an unacceptable level of pollution we have in our cities.
Do you think it makes a difference what the composition of the vape fluid is? Because they come in lots of different flavours, don't they?
It potentially does. And what we can do now with our model is to play around, if you like, with the vape composition. We can make our own vape. We can look at the effect of just a major component, which is propylene glycol, which is like a food additive on its own. We can add in the flavorings. And as you say, there are many hundreds of thousands of flavorings. So we can start doing this sort of these experiments to scale and really nail down what are the components which are causing it. As yet, we think nicotine isn't the major player, although it has some effect, but what it is in the nicotine-free vape, it's unclear.
We'll have to wait for the smoke to clear to find out. That was Jonathan Grigg there, and that study was published in the European Respiratory Journal.